This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. The new year is upon us, a time of endings and new beginnings as we close one year, looking forward to the fresh new year to come. Many of us considering resolutions, pausing to take stock of who and where we are in the journeys of our lives. Perhaps we should consider that a life well lived is not about getting stuff, doing stuff, and having stuff. It's really all about being true to who we are, living our moments and our daily lives fully, moving us to the call of Jesus our Christ. Make the commitment now to spend time daily reading your Bible and meditating on His Word. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs. The new year is upon us. Are you ready?
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, January 16th, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It's a little chilly, but other than that, it's a beautiful day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, as we listen to the message this morning and study your holy word, give us insight and understanding. Enable us to live our lives in ways pleasing to you. Enable our ministry that we may spread the good news of salvation to those around us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Let's prepare to go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, hear our hearts as we lift them before you. And Father, we are reminded that we should lift them regularly, often, fervently, in humility to bow ourselves, our hearts, our prides, our agendas, put them all aside, and spend time with you. For Father, you know the truth as it is anyway. You know the deepest, darkest places of our hearts. So, Father, hear our hearts, hear our prayers. Father, as we lift each other up this morning, seeking forgiveness for our sins and strength to forgive others. Father, we pray for our hurts, our pains, both physically, mentally, and Father, regretfully, maybe even spiritually. Father, we pray that you would help us in our struggles, heal us in our brokenness, strengthen us in our service. And Father, help us to see you, seek you, and serve you. Help us, Father. Lord, help us. Not only in touching our hearts, but the needs of those who are there in our heart, and we remember every single day. We lift them up. They're constantly on our minds. And Father, for whatever reason that may be, you know. And we pray that you would just touch them in your will and by your grace. Father, we pray for our church. We pray that you would let us see you at work, that we would grasp the revelation that you would have for us as a church, as a body of Christ here in this community. Father, that you would work with us, work in us, and through us, that you may be glorified in the name of Jesus our Christ, that people would be drawn to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, we could be a beacon of hope, of your hope,
of your love, of your grace, and your mercy. For Father, we don't have anything on our own to offer except brokenness and tears. But with you, we have hope that springs eternal. We have a limitless resource of love, grace, and mercy to heal the brokenness of our community, indeed our nation and the world, if people would but come to you. And Father, we do pray for other churches, leaders in our nation, leaders around the world. Father, we would pray that service of others above self, honesty, integrity, and truth would ring clear in the world around us, and that truth would once again be honored. And Father, we pray that the lies and schemes of the evil ones come unraveled and are revealed for what they are: doubt, deception. So Father, as we pray for those who serve our country, we pray for those who work in the medical fields, who work in emergency responders and law enforcement, military. Father, we pray for those nurses, doctors, physicians. Father, we pray that they treat patients with dignity, with mercy, and grace. And Father, we pray today for those who are shut-ins in their own homes. We pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who are in other facilities. And Father, they may not find it where they want to be, but may they find you with them there. And now we pray that you would hear us as we join our hearts and our voices to pray together as you taught your disciples, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today, I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now, I'm not going to go through a list and application, purpose, and all of that stuff of spiritual gifts this morning during a sermon. That would take about a week.
So you might not want to stay that long, and to be honest, I don't want to stay that long either, for I'm going to get hungry, and I want to go home. So, but I do want to make some things and get some basic things kind of in our mind when it comes to this idea that Paul is presenting here. And I want to talk about diversity this morning, but I want to talk about diversity in a little different way than maybe a lot of people see it. Diversity and difference. Diversity and difference. So I want to give you some baselines so that we got them, so we know where they are and that they stick with us for not just today. They're simple, so we'll do it. You've heard me say how many times there's always two decisions. No more, no less, but always two. And I think life gets too complicated sometimes. I think we need to use the KISS method. Keep it simple, silly. What did you think I was going to say?
I always heard stupid, but you know.
But have you noticed how complicated life gets sometimes, and how mountains become super mountains, and they spread and they grow and they find themselves, it just gets complicated. Nobody, how many of you can get just a simple yes or no answer out of somebody anymore? It don't happen. Every answer, I ask somebody, will you help me do that? No, and then I'm worn out by the time they tell me all the whys I can't. Or yes, I will, but you know, it always comes with caveats, and I've been dealing with conference stuff and the end of year and statistical data, and Ezra's up and running, and we got to, holy smokes. How many of you have ever tried to update a database that someone that super nerd says is easy? And they designed it. There is no way. I talked to this lady, and I'm pretty tech savvy, folks. I can build you a computer. I can do your basic program. I can operate your Windows. But I did. She was saying things that I've never heard. I took C++ and COBOL in different languages but why does that be so complicated? Finally, 9 minutes, timed them. 9 minutes, when she took her next breath, I said, whoa. What do I put in box 27? That's all I wanted to ask. Where's that in our year of injury? All of that stuff, it's about statistics. It's about how many women, how many men, but I couldn't figure out what they wanted in box 27. I said, what do I put in there? That's all I want. 9 minutes on this phone. She'll jump right. Sometimes it can be too complicated. Even Christian faith can be. We have our own language. Have you ever noticed that? We have our own dialect, saved and lost. Do you know what that means to somebody that doesn't know anything about the Christian faith? Saved. First base, you know, third base or home. They're safe. But saved. Saved from what? They don't know. So sometimes we make our own little stuff complicated too. How many of you have ever worked in the medical field? Anybody ever worked in the medical? Where do you come up with all your abbreviations? Why? I've been in the doctor, you know, all that, and I get this stuff, the DBB, CTP5, but why? You're going to stick me with a KS what? What is that? Why do you want to stick me with that? It's this long, it's this, I've learned what 18 gauge, 14 gauge, 22 gauge, I've learned what that stuff means. Let me explain something. If they come at you with an 18 gauge needle, hold on. Grit your teeth, get you something to chew on, because it's coming. It's as big as a road tile, and about as sharp. So anyway, let's make Christianity a little, let's get it down. Two, there are two types of people in the world today, saved and lost. Saved meaning those who trust in Jesus Christ unto salvation, and those who do not, period. There's not another group. There's not any more groups. Jesus is the only way to be saved. So there's saved and lost. Oh, he didn't die. I didn't ask him to die for me. Nope, it's been a long time since he died. So it's not likely you asked him. So at the same time, you need to realize we are all born into original sin. And therefore, we start out all in the same place. And that's lost, condemned, and on our way to God's wrath. Judgment, separation. There's enmity between us and God. Jesus came to give us redemption, salvation, and forgiveness. That's saved. Saved from the wrath of God. Two groups. Got it? Simple as all. Get out. Folks, you can't be on the... There's no fence. Jesus says in Revelation, I wish you were hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You're saved or lost. There's not an in-between. Let's don't make it complicated. There's two more things that are in the world around us today. Let's don't make them any more complicated. There's good and evil. There's God at work and Satan opposing it. There's God doing good things, Satan who's stirring up problems. There is good and evil. Where there is confusion, the devil can be found. Where there's a lie, the devil has signed it. Where there is division, the devil's in the middle of it. And God's on the other side of that fence. So if you want to know which one's at work, look and see what's going on. When those things are present, the devil's present. It is that old military strategy, divide and conquer. Now, diversity is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But it can also be a very bad thing. Diversity, anything I have learned in life that has the potential for great good, has the potential for great evil. Amen? You've learned that, haven't you? I don't need to explain that. But I've also learned that what Paul is teaching here to that early church at Corinth, do you realize what kind of a place that was? How many of you know anything about the city of Corinth? Just a little. Corinth was the worst of the worst in the Roman Empire. There was not a more corrupt town anywhere in the Roman Empire. There was in Corinth a statue and a temple for every known pagan god in the world. Why? Corinth means a place of crossing over. A place of crossing over. They would come there and unload their ships, take the cargoes across the narrow, and put them back in on the other side and finish the journey. It saved weeks of sailing, as well as disasters that could befall. And this was the melting pot. Paul goes there and starts a church. And when he's speaking here to these pagans who were led by these idols, he's talking about the most corrupt city in the Roman Empire. And the Romans, it was so corrupt, left it alone as long as they got their tax money. That's how bad it was. Paul plants a church in the middle of that. How many of us would think that'd be the best place to go? You know, But if you're going to tell people about Jesus, redemption and salvation, repentance and restoration, then you might need to find out where the sinners are. And there was no doubt they'd be there. And Paul goes there. And that's to whom Paul is writing this letter, is to this church that has been birthed out of this group of Gentiles that were the worst of the worst of the worst. And that's what Paul is saying to them. Now concerning spiritual gifts, there was a big argument among them. And one of them was about speaking in tongues. And that everybody had to speak in tongues. And that if you didn't speak in tongues, then you had not been saved. And that's still a movement in some places in the world today, is that if you have not spoke in tongues, then you haven't received the Holy Spirit. But Paul goes into some more detail, says, if you speak in tongues, if you've got that gift, and somebody's over there that can interpret it, great, fine, and wonderful, but if not, keep your mouth shut. Because what good does it do to have a communication that no one understands? Why would God do that? So think about it. That was free. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant is what the Greek says. I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to be uninformed. And we made it nice. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols and could not speak. Dummies, idiots, fake idols. You were led astray. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. Let Jesus be cursed. How many of you realize what one of the fastest growing swear phrases in America is today? Jesus effing Christ. Or Jesus Christ as a swear. Your kids in elementary school, middle school, junior, and high school, if you've been there, you've experienced. I see some people shaking their heads. Now it's okay to use Jesus as a swear word. Why? Because lost people do lost things. If you can do that, you don't know the Jesus I know. And folks, if you let that go on and don't call their hand on it, you check yourself at the door too and see what's happening. It's okay to say, I don't appreciate that. Oh, join the crowd and say, I'm offended. Get in with the times and use the language. Use the culture. Say, I'm offended by that. You're allowed to do that today. Maybe not since it's Jesus. Try it and see. I will. Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. To say he is Lord, if you mean it, means something. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Hold on to this. There are common gifts and individual gifts. There are gifts that every Christian gets. There's gifts that every Christian needs to have in order to figure out anything else in their journey. And every one of you who have accepted Christ, really accepted him, got him. You got them. Even I got them. What are they? Let's see. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Do you see some harmony coming here? There are varieties of services, but one Lord. See, Jesus can't just be your Savior. He has to be Lord of your life. He has to be in charge of your life. He has to be determining your coming and your going. The purposes and the reasons. We need to be like Solomon. We need to pray for wisdom first and foremost. And that's what we're talking about. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, that which we do, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, how we put it to work, but there is one God who activates all of them in everyone. To each, you should underline this, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the common good. Common good. This is a letter to a believing community, and I'm sharing it with the believing community this morning. Now he talks about the diversity. These three first gifts are important. The very first one is wisdom. That's what you should pray for. Carrie and I did a thing on Facebook on it last night. The very first thing that we need is wisdom. Wisdom that is godly, that is God-centered and biblically based. Wesley said, if it isn't in harmony with the Scriptures, then we have nothing to be in harmony with. First and foremost, what does the Word of God say? Have you noticed it hasn't changed? You know, it's still the same. It's thousands of years old. People's conditions, we've just made it more complicated. We get in trouble in more ways. We've got more. Anyway, the Word of God hasn't changed. Folks, if it was a sin 1,000 years ago, it's still a sin today. It did not change. God hasn't changed his mind. So if it is by the Word of God, and wisdom comes out of the discernment of the Word of God. And the next thing we need to pray for is what? Well, you need to start there.
Maybe I should have said the first thing we need to start with, thank you, is forgiveness. We need that. Jesus needs to be not just Savior, but Lord. The next thing, we need to pray for each other. We get it, but we need to pray that God will let us know what it is. And it's wisdom. What's the next one is discernment. We need discernment, folks. And then we need to be able to see God at work so that we can join what God is doing instead of that which is of the world. If we are not careful, the diversity that makes us a wonderful organization, that makes us the different organization, it will be a place for the devil to come in and sow tares among the wheat. We have to start out with that prayer for wisdom. You get it, but you got to cultivate it. Where does it come from? How do you get it to grow? Pray, communicate, talk to God, but you've got to study the Word of God. Notice it. What's here? Here it is. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God. Now just come on over with me to verse 8. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. Knowledge. To the other one, faith by the same Spirit, and then it goes into breaking out all the different gifts. How do you know what God's will is for your life? How many of you believe God has a will for your life? How many of you believe God has a call upon your life? How many of you believe that God wants you serving in some way? No, not as many hands that time. So, how do you do it? How do you know what he's calling you to? How do you know what he wants you to do? How do you know? How do you figure that out? Do you think it's a secret and you got a kind of mind for it? Do you think it's something that's going to be a surprise? Well, it may be a surprise. Here's the way. Anybody want to know? Maybe you don't. Maybe we'll just do one of Trudy's things and say, Jesus loves you, amen, and we can go home. I don't think that's enough. So how do we get there? Have you looked around? Have you noticed that everybody's different? So it's likely that whatever God's calling you is going to be a little different. You may be working at the soup kitchen. We got some of the ladies that go down there. But you don't all do the same thing, do you? And if you do the same thing, I bet you don't do it the same way. You don't understand. I have gotten trouble for not slicing an onion correctly. I didn't know. Anyway, she picks on me about that. I'm the super chopper at my house. I chop everything to specification. Got us to, but that's the way it is, isn't it? With God, we have to know what God's calling us to, and it's different. But what it will never be is divisive. God will never call you into a gift, a talent, an ability, or an area of service where there is division. There will be difference, but there won't be division. Folks, if division shows up, that's the devil. If division shows up, that's the devil. How do you know when the wheat is growing among the tares? How do you know? Anybody know what wheat is? Maybe we can get a little closer. You know, how many of us know what wheat is? How many of you like bread? I didn't say that ate it. I just said like it. I love it. It likes me. I've got a loaf I keep with. I look like the Michelin man more than, but bread grows from wheat. Did you know that Jesus gives the parable of the wheat and tares? The man goes out, sows his field, wheat's coming up, and Jesus gets a message and says, oh Lord, your enemy has come and sowed tares in among you. But the problem is the tares and the wheat look just alike. But the tares are going to suffocate the wheat and it's going to cut down the harvest. So we need to go ahead and pull out. He said, we can't tell the difference. We'll pull out the good with the bad and the bad with the good, and it's all ruined. Leave it alone until the harvest. Then we can tell, because the tare doesn't have a shock of wheat on the top. There's a difference in the fruit it bears. Folks, everybody that is claiming to be Christian is not. There are tares that grow among the wheat. There are contrite and contrary spirits within the church. I'm not talking about our pews this morning, but I'm talking about in the church. There are those who are sowing seeds of division and divisiveness instead of seeds of love and grace. Some people are saying that sin is right when it's not. Condoning things that should not be. Remember, division is not fruit of God. Remember that division is not diversity is. I like diversity. How many of you like diversity? Diversity can be painful, though. Paul gives this body example, and he says, you know, we're all of one body, but you know, we got different roles. My kids laugh at me when I go out. How many of you have ever worked on your car? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever got out from under a long session of working on the car that you didn't have proof evident that you had been there? My hands have got more scars than you can count. And I get ready to work on my trucks. You got to get up on a big tall thing and lean out over it behind like a Superman pose. And you may be there for a little while. And I look at my hand, Nicholas especially just dies laughing. And I look at him, all the rings are off, sleeves are all up. And I apologize. I'm fixing to send you in, boys, and you're coming out skinned and bruised and dirty, guaranteed, because there's stuff. And on my truck, there's this post on the left-hand side, on the passenger side, that sticks up with three stops to map air sensor foot, and that thing's sharp as everything. And I have to pat it. If I don't get it, it's going to get me right on this arm as I go down in there. Well, the brain's saying, you got to go. The hand is saying, why? Because you're the one that's got the dexterity, the gift, the talent, and the ability. And the arm says, I'll be right behind you. The elbow says, I'll get you into that corner. And the wrist says, oh, no, you won't. And the eye says, I can't see anything. And the finger says, well, feel, it's right there. Tell the brain, close your eyes, don't worry. You see, the diversity of the body of Christ is sometimes difficult. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we're going through struggles. And while that may be true for you as an individual, but we are so structured in Christ and in the same Spirit and in the same Lord and in the same Christ, that should one of us get stuck on a three-pronged bolt, we should all know and feel it. You see, once we love each other and care for each other, divisions, even in diversity, begin to fall away. For we do it out of love. And at the heart of every piece of this is humility. We as Christians need to know humility. We need to know to listen. We may not have heard it that way before. It's kind of like I tell people, there are some things that the gasping last breath of a church whispers before it goes under. And one of them is, we're afraid of change. And this is what it sounds like. We've never done it that way before. That's the last gasping breath. Another one is, we might scuff the paint. Bye-bye. Those are the gasp. How many of you learned that dealing with people is a little messy from time to time? And in the body of Christ, we have to live in humility, trust in God, believe in God, celebrate our diversity, love one another, that we can show the world a model where brokenness can be made whole, where that diversity can be accepted, where the people can be loved, irregardless of what they've come from. But I want to share with you, Christ will never leave you alone. He'll never leave you where you are, and he'll always call you to be more than you are. He'll get you out of your box, out of your comfort zone, and challenge you to grow in ways that you never noticed before. He won't leave you in a rut. He won't leave you struggling if you listen. I have found one thing about serving Christ and serving, it's not boring. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Diversity. With God, it is a good thing. With Satan, it's a way to divide. We are different, and that's the way it is. And God intended for us to be different. He intended for us to be patient with one another, bearing with one another in love, encouraging one another in love, challenging one another in love. Iron sharpens iron. Accountability in love. Let us as a church celebrate the diversity that is among us, and not let it become a point that would divide, but let it be our strong suit in Christ Jesus. May we submit ourselves to Christ not only as our Savior, but Lord of our lives. May we constantly pray for ourselves and for others for wisdom, discernment, and that God would reveal himself at work and let us join him in it. Let us realize that God is at work in the lives of other people. Sometimes we are that revelation for someone. Sometimes they are for us. Clarity and vision come from God. Purpose comes from God. Redemption from God. Healing from God. Purpose from God. But we don't receive any of it without bowing our hearts in humility and seeking Him first. Our gracious and loving God, may we celebrate diversity and not let it be something that divides us. Father, let us seek the common good among us, your will, your way, and your purpose for our lives and for our lives as a church community. Father, may we honor you by serving and loving one another. Let us do the things that only you can do in us and through us. Father, there is some way that each of us can be in service to encourage, to lift up. Father, call us and let us listen. Let us not be hesitant. Let us be among those for whom it isn't just salvation from punishment, but that you would be Lord of our lives. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus reminds us that the gospel is so simple, even a child can understand. Our journey together seems often complicated, but let it not be with Christ. And now may the peace and love of Christ go with you, bless you, and keep you as you go to serve, to share of your time, your gifts, and talents, that others may know Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you.
to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.